world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, what stage are you in your life's journey? To talk more about that, we welcome back Kuhn Su, our guest speaker today. And here is Kenneth Wong to introduce him more fully.
Thank you very much, McDaniel. And it's a real joy and pleasure for me to introduce to you Kuhn Su as our guest speaker for today. I've known Kuhn Su for many years as a brother in Christ and as a faithful and lucid expositor of the Word of God. He worships with his family at Bethesda Hall, Ang Mo Kio, where he is also involved in regular gospel preaching and Bible teaching. Kuhn Su teaches a weekly Bible training class on the basic truths of the Christian faith, and it's wonderful to have him join us on Times of Refreshing.
Thanks, Kenneth, for the introduction. Hello, everyone. I am Kuhn Su. It is a joy for me to join you on this program again. The famous playwright William Shakespeare once wrote about man's life in general. He wrote, and I quote, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man, in his time, plays many parts, his acts being seven ages." Unquote. He concluded with these words, I quote again, "Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion. Sense teeth, sense eyes, sense taste, sense everything." Unquote. In our life's journey, there are three important spiritual stages which I would like to share with you from the life of a Bible character named Zacchaeus. His account is given to us in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." May God bless us for reading His Word here and in other passages. I believe this account of how Zacchaeus was saved has important teachings for us regarding salvation. I would like to divide Zacchaeus' life into three distinct stages. Namely, 1. Zacchaeus the sinner. 2. Zacchaeus the seeker. And 3. Zacchaeus the saint. Zacchaeus the sinner. How do we know he was a sinner? Lest we judge him unfairly, let us look at the evidence. We begin with his vocation. In verse 2, we are told he was a publican and a chief one at that. He was very rich. It was not uncommon for publicans to be rich in those days. Perhaps a little background about the publicans will help us understand Zacchaeus better. At one time, publicans were public contractors who provided supplies to Roman legions, managed the collection of port dues, and oversaw public building projects. In addition, they served as tax collectors for the Roman rulers, bidding on contracts from the Senate in Rome for the collection of various types of taxes. This role as tax collectors was not emphasized until late into the history of the Republic. By New Testament times, publicans were seen chiefly as tax collectors by the provincial people. It is in this sense that the term is used in our story. Such a system of bidding for contracts and collection of taxes would give rise to much abuse and corruption. He is described as the chief. This meant he was a chief tax collector and not that he was a chief sinner or chief of sinners. In view of these considerations and their way of life, the publicans were hardly held in high esteem. A good example would be the account of the prayers of a Pharisee and a publican in Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 13, which reads, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" The hypocritical religious leader looked upon the publican as a sinner. The publican himself confessed he was a sinner. So, as a publican, Zacchaeus might have succumbed to the prevalent abuses and corruption. Now hold on to your verdict as we look at the next two pieces of evidence. The second piece of evidence would be his reputation. Verse 7 confirms this. It states, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." So, he had this dubious reputation too with the onlookers. The third piece of evidence would be his own confession. In verse 8, we have this account of him. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.'" The "if" was not hypothetical, but should be read as "where," so that in those cases of falsehood, he will effect fourfold restoration. This was in line with the Levitical laws. Yes, Zacchaeus was a sinner when Christ passed his way that day. Incidentally, the name Zacchaeus means pure. The name Zacchaeus was indeed a misnomer for his early life. His life was hardly pure. You may ask, how is this stage of Zacchaeus' life relevant to mine? The answer is that we are like him in God's sight. We read in Romans 3:23 these words, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Apostle Paul recognized this when he exclaimed in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." My friends, we are sinners by birth and by choice. The Bible goes on to say in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Friends, sin separates us from a loving God. If not dealt with, we will be forever separated from Him at the end of our earthly sojourn. By believing in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross and receiving Him into our life as Lord and Savior, we will have our sins forgiven and we have eternal life. When we die, we go to where He is, heaven. The challenge is for us to emulate Zacchaeus in the second stage of his life. Zacchaeus, the seeker. Verses 3 to 5 state this, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. In these verses, we see him as a seeker. Of what, you might ask? I believe that despite his wealth and position as chief publican, there was something lacking in his life. He must have known that wealth could not bring him happiness and peace. He must have known that his position could hardly bring him true love and friendship. I also believe he must have heard about Jesus Christ, the miracles he had performed, the claim he could give life eternal, life abundant, peace that surpasses understanding and forgiveness of sins. I'm sure he really wanted to see this person, Jesus. So he became a seeker to seek out this person, Jesus Christ. The Word of God exhorts us to be seekers too, to seek God and His righteousness above all things. Have we been doing this? Or have we pursued things which are temporal and of no value to our search for joy, peace, and contentment? Let us seek after Jesus Christ, for He holds the key to forgiveness of sins and life eternal. There are important lessons for us in this stage of seeking in his life. 1. He was earnest. Zacchaeus was a short man. He had a disadvantage. He had an obstacle too. That is, the crowd prevented him from seeing Jesus. He must have darted from place to place, but to no avail. He was not put off. He really desired to see Jesus. He was not letting any disadvantage or obstacle distract or discourage him from that which he was seeking. He did not let his position, his wealth, and people hinder him. It is true, there are many obstacles in seeking Jesus. Some of us may have natural physical handicaps, such as deafness, blindness, sickness. Do not let this discourage you. Some of us may have obstacles in the form of wealth and status. We are so busy thinking of ways to make money and more money that we fail to see the need to seek God. Some are obstructed by people. As Christians, we may be obstacles to those seeking Jesus. They want to see Jesus, but we are in their way because of our bad testimony. They are supposed to see Jesus in us and through us. Instead, they see us and they fail to see Jesus. So it is important for Christians to be good witnesses of the changed life that believing in Jesus can bring. Whatever your disadvantage, whatever your obstacle, remember, you must be earnest in seeking Jesus. If you are not earnest and sincere and lose heart, you will not find Him. Be like Zacchaeus. He was humble. To seek Jesus, Zacchaeus had to be humble. He climbed a tree. Try to imagine the sight. Zacchaeus, a chief and rich publican, behaving like a small boy climbing a tree. To Zacchaeus, nothing was going to keep him from seeing what he sought. He buried his pride and climbed out of it. He was prepared to face embarrassment and jeer. The lesson here is clear. To come to Jesus, we must be humble enough. We must be humble to admit we are sinners in His sight. Yes, friends, to come to Christ, you have to drop all your defenses. They are no good, for He sees through them. People may laugh at you, still come. Zacchaeus the seeker found what he sought and obtained more than he sought. He wanted only a glimpse of the Son of God, but got more than a glimpse. He got a guest for his home. Yes, Jesus offered to come into Zacchaeus' life, and Zacchaeus gladly and joyfully took the offer. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, the Bible says, those that seek me early shall find me. In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. This is the promise of God. If you earnestly, sincerely, and humbly seek God, you will find Him. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. we come to the third stage of Zacchaeus' life, Zacchaeus the saint. The Bible has different names to describe those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, such as believers, Christians, and saints. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul addressed the Philippian believers as follows: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. The word saints, singular saint, means holy ones, separated ones, someone set apart from the world unto God. The Bible uses saints and saint as a common noun and never as a proper noun to be used as a title. Zacchaeus was a different man when he took Jesus into his life, as it were. He was a sinner whose sins had been forgiven. He was a seeker no more, as he had found Jesus Christ. Yes, he was a different person. He can now be used by God. In fact, that's what sanctification means, to be set apart for use by God. Once he was concerned with self-interest and self-enrichment, with Jesus in his life, self is no more first. He gives half of his wealth to the poor. The rest is for restitution to his victims in his fraudulent transactions. This is the physical aspect. He makes amends for his past deeds and gives to those in need. His life is now used by God to reach out to others. Verse 9 says, salvation has come to his house. This does not teach vicarious salvation. God has no grandchildren. What is meant is that through his testimony, his sanctified life, he will be bringing each of his family members to have a personal relationship with Jesus too. Wonderful, is it not, that a chief of publicans, a sinner, can now be sanctified and used by Jesus Christ. This is the same thing that can happen to you. You give your life to Jesus Christ, he will use it for his purpose. You may, like Zacchaeus, be the first Christian in your family. Through your good testimony, others in your family will be attracted to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Yes, through you, subsequent generations of Christians will arise. Yes, friends, there are countless testimonies of men and women, boys and girls, whose lives have been sanctified by God. Once they were self-indulgent and self-centered, making a mess of their lives, now they are wonderfully used by God. This is what is meant in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Your life will be changed. All values are replaced by new ones, which are pleasing to God. Why not take this offer, my friend? Come to Jesus now. He awaits you to open your heart to him. When you do that, a whole new relationship begins. See the different Zacchaeus, once a sinner, once a seeker, now saved and serving God. You too can be like him if you come to Jesus now. God bless you.
What stage of life are you in? Well, whatever that may be, I pray you will humble yourself so God can change you for his glory. Thank you for that good word, Unsu. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth Wong presents part one of One Another. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message. That number is 9431-3813. You can send us a letter. And that mailing address is Post Office Box 392 Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can visit our Facebook page, and you can go there to get the latest updates. You can socialize with some of the other fans, and you can give us your views on the program right at our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, to listen to the program online, or while you're there, why don't you take the time to download our iPhone app, because it will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.